this message and what we're going to cover this morning, you have to ask yourself a question. And that's, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? What is your craving? What is your, lack of better term, addiction that you cannot go without, that you need in this absolute moment, that your mind will not get off of? What are you hungry for? I have a video to show you before I jump into the message. It's short. It's 24 seconds. So just take a look and we'll get into it after that. Tell you what you did. I show that for two reasons. Number one, obviously, because you can't tell me I don't have the cutest thing walking this earth right now. And because I will always be that parent, that dad, to take advantage to show a video or a picture of one of my beautiful kids. But secondly, as a picture. Naomi was trying to get to the top of those stairs. Her desire, her want, her need in her mind was to get to the top of those steps. And so she was going by any means necessary. What you didn't see before that video started is she started that journey across the room. She climbed over a couple of toys. She stepped through some hoops. She moved some things. And then she finally started to climb the stairs. As I watched her do this from afar, I'm like, surely she's going to stop before she gets those steps. Surely. There were so many things in her way to stop her from getting to those steps. Surely she won't move these things, step over these things just to get to those steps. And then she did. And I was like, well, surely she won't actually go up those steps. And then she begins to climb. I thought to myself, she's going to stop. She's going to stop. She's going to stop. And I thought to myself, she is not going to stop. So I went and I grabbed her off those stairs and put her back on the floor safely where she belongs. God's been dealing with me about what you're truly hungry for. What is your true desire and want? Not only from your ambitions, but from this life and from this walk that you're in with me. What are you truly hungry for? As I think about Naomi and what she was wanting and desiring, and she thought that that was what was best for her. And as I watched her as a dad from afar go over these obstacles and hurdles and these natural roadblocks to the point where she finally got to the stairs, and I said to myself, I'm going to have to go stop her before she hurts herself. I'm going to have to go grab her off these stairs because she does not know that what she desires right now is actually going to hurt her. Now, eventually, I want my daughter to climb the stairs by herself, up and down, jump up and down, skip up and down. Eventually, I want her to do that. And eventually, she will be able to do that under her own power without my help and without my guidance, eventually. After I've taught her, after my wife, her mom has taught her, after the rest of the family has taught her, eventually she'll be able to do that. But right now, she cannot do that, should not do that, and I won't let her do that because I won't let her hurt herself. I won't let her put herself in trouble or danger with that. Now, as you know, Naomi's tiny, super tiny. As a matter of fact, if you think about it in terms of actual weight, I'm about 20 times Naomi's size. 20 times. There's nothing that Naomi can do to stop me from stopping her. She can kick. She can scream. She can swing. She can claw. You watched her when I picked her up by her little suspenders. She was swinging her whole body, and she thought she was doing something. I'm sure she thought she was about to break free. Obviously, she had no chance, not even a little bit of a chance, to break free. Because it's my job as her dad to stop her when she's getting in trouble. And if you know anything about Jesus and the Lord, you saw this coming from a mile away. The God of the universe is exponentially bigger than you. Way further bigger of a gap is that than I am in Naomi. And if I can stop Naomi with my good hand, how much more can God stop us from doing something that is not his desire? Here's the thing. No matter what Naomi's desire was, until her desire was my desire, will she be able to achieve it? If I desire for Naomi to get those steps, she would have been up those steps. But if I desire for her not to be on those steps, guess what? I will yank her off every single time. Your desire is what you want, what you feel in this world. If they do not line up with God's, they absolutely do not matter. And they absolutely will not be something you will attain until your desire matches God's desire. Until your want matches God's want. Until your goal, hopes, and dreams matches God's hopes, goals, and dreams for your life and your walk. But Pastor Savage, I have great ambitions. These are good things. These are fantastic things even that God's even called us and told us to be about. Guess what? Until it's still God's desires, it does not matter. But I want to start this new awesome ministry that's going to be great for the homeless. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to get these kids off the street. It does not matter if it's not God's desire for your life. But I have all this musical talent, and I want to lead on the praise team, and I want to be this worship leader. If it's not God's desire for you, it does not matter. But I'm an awesome athlete. I know I'm going to go to Division I and be a professional athlete. I'm going to be this banner for Christ when I do it. If it's not God's desire, it does not matter. Those are all great things. And maybe it's what you're hungering for right now. That's what you desire right now, to be those things. Before that, though, I would challenge you and ask you, are you hungry for Christ and Christ alone? The song I listened to the other day called Give Me Jesus. It said, you can have all of this world, just give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. I don't want anything else. I don't need anyone else. Jesus, you are my one thing. What are you hungry for? What is your desire? Full disclosure, being a called pastor, man of the cloth, the last couple months have been very mundane, very much go through the motion, very much check off the list, make this happen, because that's what I'm supposed to do. So mundane, in fact, that even with the word of God, it's been open it up, because you need to prepare. You need to get ready for a message or a lesson, maybe leading a Bible study. I've been opening it up daily. That's great. I've been reading it daily. I've even been meditating upon it, but so that I could prepare myself to deliver God's word. But Pastor Savage, what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to prepare yourself to deliver God's word. 100% you are. But my desire to open the Bible had nothing to do with my desire for Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that's wrong. My desire to open that Bible should be because I want to talk to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not because I want to just learn something new. I was like, oh, I want to get some wisdom. No. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. It does not come by just reading the Word of God and studying it. No. That would come under our own power. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. But you go to the Bible and you open it up to encounter God. And when we encounter God and the Holy Spirit fills us up, that's when wisdom comes. When we encounter God and he speaks to us and gives us a word to give to his people, that's how preparation works. We begin to study. You don't go to the word and study and say, okay, I'm going to preach on this. Let me get some scriptures together. Let me get some points together. Let me get this all figured out so I can sound good and look good for these people so they can say I'm an awesome preacher of the word. That's not the way it works. Once again, talking to myself first. Remember, it's me first, then you. It's not the way it works. We must develop a true hunger for God. A true hunger for God. True hunger. You know, my birthday is today, and everybody asks the same question. A question that will split history, a question that will drive more wedges between married people and friends, and that is, so what are we eating? The question has caused more controversy than any other question on this planet. What are we eating? What will we dine on? What will we have? And of course, being someone who loves food, and you know it's your special day, and most people in their special day, you know what you want to eat. I don't even got to ask you. It's in the back of your mind, tip of your tongue. As soon as somebody asks, you're ready to give them the answer. Boom! Let's go here. Don't ask me no other questions. This is where we're going. Because you know exactly what you want. You know exactly what you desire. It'd be so easy if we all wanted and desired the same thing. There'd be a lot less dissension and split and discord in the body. If we could all just get saved and want Wingstop at the same time, I think that'd be so much less discord in the body. You know? In all seriousness, if we could all just desire God at the exact same time and God alone, no other agenda, no other want, no other desire but Jesus and Jesus alone, and we'd all want to eat the exact same thing, we would be so much more unified in the body. There'd be so much less discord. The issue is we all want Jesus at different times and for different reasons. I want Jesus when I'm getting sick and I want to be healed. I want Jesus when it looks like them funds are going to make it to the end of the month and I need to stretch. I want Jesus. My car starts making funny noises, clinking and clanking. I need to put his hand over it. I want Jesus when I don't have anything else to do, and it's convenient for me to pick him up when I feel like it. Instead of us all just saying, simply, I want Jesus, Christ and Christ alone. What is the question? What are we hungry for? How you develop a hunger, a true hunger for God? How do I develop this true hunger for Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Point one, if you're taking notes, number one is this. Number one, you have to know where to find food. You have to know where to get this food that we speak of, that you're supposed to be hungry for. I've heard asked Pop, excuse me, Pastor Forney, where would I go in Tulsa to get some really, really good fried fish? He might tell me. Bonefish Grill. He says Bonefish Grill. Now, I asked Pastor Forney because he's a fish connoisseur, and I respect his opinion on fish and fish type things. I know that he's seasoned, if you will, in eating fish and having fish. He knows what good fish is supposed to taste, look like, maybe even smell and sound like. He knows. So I'm going to ask him, where can I get some of that good fish? He's going to tell me to go to Bonefish Grill. Then I will take my happy self to Bonefish Grill. Why? Because I want to taste and check out this great fish. And I have been to Bonefish Grill, and I would say he's absolutely correct. That is some good fish. that is some good fish. Fact of the matter is, I knew that was good fish before he even told me that was good fish. Why? Because I've experienced Bonefish Grill for myself. I've been there. I know where Bonefish Grill is located at. I can tell you where it's at. I can show you where to go to Bonefish Grill. I can even tell you what to order at Bonefish Grill. Why? Because I've experienced it for myself. I know where it's at. Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. John 4:14 says like this, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 6:35 says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. So where's that food located? Jesus. You have to experience Jesus for yourself. And when you experience Jesus for yourself, that hunger will begin to develop in you. But until you experience Jesus, you will never, ever, ever be hungry for him. I'm going to be hungry for him. I'm going to say, hey, you want to get some of that Jesus with me? You're going to be like, what? What's that? If you've never been to Bonefish Grill and Pop says, hey, you want to go to Bonefish Grill? You might be like, I've never had it. We can try it. Maybe. I don't know. We'll check it out. But if you've been to Bonefish Grill and Pops invites you to Bonefish Grill, you're going to go to Bonefish Grill because you've experienced it. Likewise, when you experience Jesus, you invite somebody to come and experience Jesus with you again, they're going to come with you to experience Jesus. Whether it be at church, your house, out to lunch, a field, somewhere crazy. It doesn't matter. If you invite them to experience Jesus because they've had it, they want to experience Jesus. They want to be a part of it. You have to go to the source to find the food. I would not go to a hardware store looking for groceries. I would not go to a car lot and expect Bonefish fried fish food at a car lot. We're looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. There's only one place to find Jesus: at the shadow of the cross, the throne of God. But we're looking for him where? In a feeling. I need a song to tell me about Jesus and make me feel that way. I need my pastor to say something uplifting and inspiring to show me who Jesus is. That's where I'm looking for Jesus at. And if I keep looking there, I'm never going to find him. Because as much as you want to eat off of the Jesus that everybody else has and it can't be shared, you will never truly experience Jesus to experience it for yourself. Because if you eat off somebody else's Jesus, here's what happens. Like after this, if Pops did go get that Bonefish Grill fish, he'd take a bite, maybe two, maybe three, four, five, six, seven. And then what? You know what? You do want to taste this, don't you? I left you a piece. Eat that. A piece. And we're talking about a piece. We're not talking about a chunk, not a half, not even a fraction. We're talking about a piece. You might get a flake of a fish. You know what I'm saying? Not even no fish. Might just be the bread. Might not be no fish in it. Just a little bit of seasoning. So you can taste it, what it tastes like. And what's that gonna do to you? First of all, it's gonna make you mad. Cause that's rude. But second of all, well, I want more. Where can I get some more? Well, I can't give it to you. But I can tell you what. If you get on 11th Street, and you go this way, then you go that way. Bust the left, bust the right. Right? Boom. And there you are at Bonefish Grill. That's where you can get some more of that fish that you want. That gets you. And you know what? If I give you a couple dollars, will you bring me some back too? Will you bring me some back too? Right? You have to experience Jesus for yourself. Nobody can experience Jesus for you. That's like that was what we call mother bird feeding. I'm gonna chew this up real good, regurgitate it, and now you can eat of it. Ew. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life when birds eat. Who wants to eat somebody's regurgitated food? Not I. Not I. I want my piece, my chunk, my portion, as the Bible says, if you will. I want mine. And the Bible says that he will give us our daily bread if we go to the source. You must develop this hunger by going to the source. Number two. You got to know how to prepare this food. You can't just eat it. You can't just partake. You have to know how to prepare it. You know, obviously being someone, once again, who loves food, one of my favorite side dishes, greens. I love a good pot of greens. Ooh. Everybody knows. A good pot of greens. I will eat greens anytime they offer them up. I'm there. My birthday, Jesus' birthday, anybody's birthday. You offer me up some greens, I'm going to eat them. But let me tell you something. I eat greens twice a year. At Thanksgiving and at Christmas. Do you know why I only eat greens twice a year? Because I don't know how to make them. Isn't that sad? I don't know how to make them. So I can only experience greens if somebody else cooks it for me. I have to wait for moms to cook. Wait for somebody else to cook a pot of greens for me if I want to eat some. Hey, no shots fired. But if you want to make some greens, though, I will eat them. Thanksgiving, warm up. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, we got to get prepared. We got to get ready. Get our push-ups in. The only time I eat greens is twice a year at the end of the year because I don't know how to prepare them myself. But I say, I'd really like greens, though. If you like them that much, why would you not learn how to prepare those? You can have them whenever you wanted. Instead, once again, this is no shot at anybody else. I have to wait on mom to make me greens. And she makes great greens. Her greens are fantastic. I'm not saying that can make them any better than she could. But I am saying that if I can prepare them myself, I could have them a lot more often. I could have them a lot more often. The issue is I only have greens twice a year. Well, Pastor Savage, where are you going with this? The Bible says this. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. 119, 130 says this, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And lastly, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know the recipe for greens. I don't. Matter of fact, I could probably guess what's in it because I've had it before, but I couldn't tell you exactly what is put into the greens because I don't know the recipe. I know the recipe for following Jesus, though. I know the recipe, the recipe book is for following Jesus, and it's right here, right? A 66-book love letter that gives the recipe for a Christian life. But the issue is, we won't read this recipe. We'll wait for someone else, Pastor Forney, to prepare it for us. So a lot of us are only eating greens on Wednesdays and Sundays if we're here or on the phone line. But if we don't, we miss out that week on our greens. And if we miss out, I would venture to say some of us are starving. You won't miss out on that meal, though. Some of us, it's like, hey, it's clockwork. Hey, it's 12 o'clock. It's lunchtime. What are we doing? Getting lightheaded. My blood sugar low. Yeah, it's low. What are we doing? I'm starting to get hangry, seeing stars. I'm getting upset. My attitude's bad. I got to eat. You know, the same way with the Word of God. Your attitude's bad because you're not eating of the Spirit. Your blood sugar feels low because you're not eating of the Word of God. Because you have no desire to. Except for teaching. Except for preparing a sermon. Or checking off a box. Don't forget, talking to me first. But the shoe fits, you lace it up too. You've got to know how to prepare. How do you prepare? You go to the Word of God. And it will give you a step-by-step guide on how to prepare to eat this food. It will say, if you do this, then this, and the result will be this. It's all there. Every question you ever have to answer about your walk with Christ is in that book. But you have to read it. You have to read it. A secondhand account will not do. If I had a recipe card up here right now and told you a recipe for a cake, and I just told you the recipe outright, I might accidentally leave something off. I might forget to tell you, hey, you need 3 eggs for this. If I forget to tell you 3 eggs, what happens to that cake? It's flat. It's hard. No one wants a flat, hard cake. That's nasty. You're making a chocolate cake, I might tell you forget to tell you put the cocoa powder in it. And if you didn't know that cocoa powder goes in chocolate cake, guess what? You ain't got no chocolate cake because there ain't no cocoa powder in it. Because you're taking my secondhand, right. You're taking my secondhand account of what this recipe is. But when you read it for yourself, you will not miss an ingredient because you're going step by step by step. And if you follow step by step by step, whoo, you have a nice cake. And guess what? Here's the awesome part. That cake that you have that's nice now, you can share it. You can share it. And it'll be good for people to eat. Because nobody wants to share a cake or anything else they've made they messed up on. You burn something? You don't want to share that, right? You mess up an ingredient, you put salt instead of sugar? I'm not sharing that with nobody. Matter of fact, I'm throwing the trash. Don't want anybody to see that. I'm putting it at the bottom, pressing it down, taking it out immediately in the dumpster. I don't want nobody to see that, right? Your walk with Christ is the exact same way. Step by step by step, if you follow those instructions. But you have to have a desire. You have to be hungry. You know where the food's at. You know where the food's at. You can go and you can start baking that cake, putting that recipe together because you know how to cook it, right? You know how to prepare it. You can do all that. Here's the third thing. I want you to remember when you're talking about your hunger for Christ. You don't want to ruin your appetite with distractions. You don't want to ruin your appetite with distractions. You guys know I have 2 kids. You saw my little girl, Naomi. My other little one, I say little. He's not very little anymore. Rudolph, my son. He's a Tasmanian devil. He's a garbage disposal. People will watch Rudy and say, well, what does he like to eat? Food. Food. I've not found anything yet this boy will not eat. He likes food. Mushrooms, any vegetable, any fruit, any meat. Spicy, not spicy, sour, not sour. It don't matter. He might eat a wooden block if he seasons up good enough. I don't know. I don't want to try because he might try. But we pick up Rudy from daycare, and before dinner every day, he wants a snack. And I was thinking to myself, I don't want to give him this snack. It's going to ruin his dinner. It's going to ruin his dinner. So right now, we're still batting 1,000. I ain't ruined it yet. We're still batting 1,000. I know one day he's going to grow out of that, but right now he can eat anything before dinner. He'll still eat dinner. So he's getting after it. But, you know, back in the day, whenever we were coming up, and I'm sure still to this day, your parents, you'd want to go home from the snack, and you want to, maybe your mom or your dad's in there making dinner, and they say, "I want to go eat something." No, you're going to ruin your dinner. I'm cooking right now. Go on in there, go somewhere else. Don't eat nothing else. A lot of times our walk with Christ, we ruin our appetite for Jesus because we do all these other things, and then what's left over, we try to squeeze Jesus in. I went to Hibachi last night, and we ate good. At Hibachi last night, shrimp, steak, chicken, rice, all that good stuff, sushi. It was good. It was. Steak was perfect. Chicken, everything was perfect. Ate it up. And then, you know, at the end of Hibachi, I always ask you, So ice cream does come with this. And you say, ah, I did save a little room for ice cream. I did save some room for ice cream. I did. Ate that ice cream. When I tell you I shouldn't have ate that ice cream, whoo, that hurt. Because I tried to squeeze it in. Right. I tried to squeeze it in where it did not fit. Likewise, with our walk with Jesus Christ, we'll eat up all this other stuff and try to squeeze Jesus in at the last minute. And we're too full. You know what happens? You get sick. You get hurt. Your body will not function correctly because you have all this other nasty stuff in and not what you actually need the nutrient from. What you actually need the nutrient from. You have to eat of the Word of God first. And really and truly, the Word of God should be your only nourishment for your spiritual body. Yes, you will find God in all situations and all places when you're walking with Him. But you must eat of the Word of God as your nourishment. And the byproduct of that is, yes, when I go out this door, I will look out in nature and say, ah, God. I will see a screaming child and not think, that brat. I'll think, you know what, praise God. I will see a trouble, a God problem will come up, and I'll say, this is one more giant that God's going to defeat. One more Goliath God's going to take down for me because I've eaten of the Word of God first. I've not found God anywhere else except for where I'm supposed to, right in the middle of His Word. Here's the last thing, final thing. We must take our time and enjoy this meal. We must take our time and enjoy this meal. When I was a kid, and even still now sometimes, I will eat really fast. When I was a kid, it was lightning speed. So much so my grandma would be like, did you even taste that food as you were eating it? I had to think back and be like, nope. I sure enough didn't. I inhaled it. It's gone. And my body is nice and filled up, but I did not taste not a thing. When you slow down and taste the food, you can see how good it is. I liken it to this. You're hungry. You need food. You know where the food's at. But you don't want to wait on the oven to warm up. You don't want to wait on a grill to get hot. So you say, what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get these pizza rolls. I'm going to go get these fish sticks, these chicken nuggets real quick. I'm going to throw them in the microwave. Put on a minute. Beep. Done. I'm going to eat those real quick. And guess what? I'm fat and full now. I'm good. But you know what? That sure enough didn't taste good, did it? That sure enough wasn't good for my body, for my soul. But, if I take my time, I go to the store, I find the perfect butterball turkey. It's frozen. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home and let it thaw for a couple of days. After those couple of days, I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to wash it off, rinse it off. I'm going to get a bucket of water and ice. Add a little chicken broth to it. Maybe some thyme, peppercorn, maybe a little bay leaf. Y'all writing this down? This is good. This is good brine. I just want to let y'all know. This is what we do. A little salt, you know. And a little brine, you know. I'm going to tie it off, close the bucket up, put it in the fridge. I want that 24 hours. I want that marinade. Y'all say marinade. Marinate. I want that to marinate a little bit. I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to say, ooh, that's a good looking bird. What I'm going to do next? I'm going to cut the backbone out. Give a little CPR. Crack. We call spatchcocking. Right? I'm going to get a couple of sticks of butter. Maybe three, maybe four. You know. Maybe five. Even five. You know what? Six, seven. Seven is what? Not a completion. We go seven. Put a little garlic. A little thyme, a little rosemary. Yeah, I gotta write this down, I'm telling you. A little paprika. What I'm gonna do, I'm gonna mix that up, get it nice and soft. I'm gonna put it up under the skin of that bird, give it a nice little massage, right? Even it out real good. Put a little olive oil over the skin, a little olive oil over the skin. Sprinkle with a little bit of seasoned salt, a little paprika. A little dirty bird. I'm trying to tell you, I better write this down. A little dirty bird on the skin. I'm going to make sure my coals and my wood on my smoker are good and right temperature, about 200, 205, somewhere in there. I'm going to lay that bird on the grate. I'm going to let it go for about 3, 4, 5 hours. I'm going to come back. Oh, wait, before I do that, though, make sure I put my thermometers in the breast and in the thigh. I'm trying to help y'all out. I'm telling you, Thanksgiving is ready to go. Putting the breast in the thigh. Gets that right temperature. Put some greens. Gets the right temperature. I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to say, ooh, that's a good-looking bird. I'm going to let it rest for a minute. I'm going to cut into it. You know what's going to happen? The juices will flow. I'm going to smell the aroma. I'm going to make my little plate, my greens, macaroni and cheese, my yams, my little roll, a couple of deviled eggs, a little dressing. I'm going to indulge. I got a spread. I'm going to indulge in this meal. Now, that was a lot more work, a lot more time, a lot more effort. But let me tell you how much better that's going to taste than the nasty little pizza rolls I put in the microwave for a minute. Come on. Hey, 5972 East 25th place. But we won't be there, sorry, on Thanksgiving. But that's the word of God. That's the walk of God you need to have. We take that time and effort and put it into it. Man, how much better is it to indulge in that meal? And then when we get done with that meal, we can take that meal and proudly share to our friends, hey, look what I prepared. I want you to have some of this. No, not no funky pizza rolls. Not no nice little dry chicken nuggets. No fish sticks that are too hard to bite into. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this over here. Because if I invite you to dinner at my house and I had that spread, you'd be like, ooh, I'm coming back. Ooh, how'd you do that? I'm telling y'all, you're going to run right that recipe. Write it down. You're going to ask me, who made this and how did they make it? How can I replicate it? Whereas if I give you those fish sticks, you're going to be like, I mean, thank you. I will enjoy these fish sticks that you gave me because I'm so grateful that you cooked for me, Pastor Savage. Thank you. Oh, no. I'm full. I don't need anything else. I need nothing more from you. Thank you. I appreciate it. We have to have our own desire for Christ. And when we all desire the exact same thing, how much more unified are we in the body? How much more can we accomplish when we're all walking the same direction, have the same desire, want, and goal for the body of Christ? Because see, right now, not just at New Joy, not just in Tulsa, the church, Big C Church, is divided and moving in all different directions. There's more agendas than the one that should be, and that is Jesus Christ. When we all go different directions, we all go nowhere fast. We spin our wheels. We pull and go nowhere. But somebody put it one time, if every Christian in the world were to gather around a mountain and push in the same direction, I guarantee we can move that mountain. Even if we only move it an inch at a time, we can move that mountain. But the issue is, we don't have the faith to try. We don't have the faith to try. Last analogy, and I'll be done. You know, the big thing going around social media for a long time was 100 men versus one gorilla. And everybody had their arguments who would win and why they would win. 100 men, one gorilla. You think, 100 men, one gorilla? I mean, eventually we're going to wear that gorilla down. Eventually that gorilla is going to give up. Eventually they would overpower that gorilla. Here's my argument for that every single time and why one gorilla would always beat 100 men. Because in order for 100 men to beat one gorilla, they'd all have to have the same mindset that no matter what happens, we're all going to attack at the exact same time. The mindset that it's attacking all the same time, some of us might get hurt, maybe even lose our lives, but we're all going to keep pressing forward. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not the mindset of the human brain right now. It's not the mindset of the church, unfortunately. The mindset of the church is, we're going to do that as long as we're going to be safe, as long as we're going to get something out of it. We'll all go attack if that's the case. But if we can't be guaranteed that's what's going to happen, then we're not going to attack all at the same time. Here's what I tell you, church family. I want you to hear this. You are guaranteed victory if you're fighting for Christ. You are guaranteed victory. If this is one gorilla we have to take down for Christ, we're guaranteed victory. There's going to be some hurt, some injury, but we're guaranteed victory because Christ said so. And he won so 2,000 years ago on the cross when he died and rose again. So I challenge you this week, the coming weeks, ask yourself, what am I hungry for? Am I hungry and thirsting for righteousness? We only get righteousness from one place, and that's God. A faith in Jesus brings about righteousness. You are made right with God when you put your faith, hope, trust, and belief in his son Jesus and what he did on the cross. And so if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, I challenge you to go to the one who provides it. Go to Jesus. And I pray that you would hunger for that and thirst for that every single day, every minute, every moment of your life, returning to the one who offers it abundantly and far exceedingly we can imagine. The mercy, the grace, and the love of his son. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the word that you gave me that went forth, the word you put into my heart, a reminder, Father God, we must hunger and thirst for righteousness. And hungering and thirsting for righteousness, it comes from one source. That's you and your son. So, Father God, I pray before you, I want to say, I'm sorry. I want to ask for forgiveness where I've missed the boat on desiring you. Ask for forgiveness when I've just gone through the motions. Life is more than my wants and my desires and dreams. It's more than what I think I need and want. It's all about you and you alone. Christ, help us develop a hunger, a thirst for you and you alone. When we deviate, move away from that hunger, bring us back, put it back into our hearts. We need you and you alone. Let's not be distracted by the things of this world. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. As we continue to go forth, Father God, let your word go forth. Prepare the way for us. Help us, Father, to show people where we get our food from. One beggar to another beggar, showing them this is where you can get food. This is where you can indulge in righteousness. As we do that, Father God, protect us and give us all the things we need to further your kingdom. In your name I pray. Amen.